Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in and listening to this week's episode of The Walk It Off Show with Candy and Ryan. I am Ryan, and I'm here with the always awesome, wonderful Candy.
Hello.
And this week we are going to talk to you guys about the Emotional Intelligence book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, by Dr. Travis Bradbury and Dr. Jean Greaves? Grievous, G-R-E-A-V-E-S. I'm sorry if I butchered that name. So we're just going to do kind of a quick overview, and we'll dive in deeper and kind of break it down later on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had alluded to this a little bit a couple weeks ago, talking about Butch with his shark. The approaching wave stood tall to reveal Butch's worst nightmare in the shimmering, translucent surface. A massive great white shark stretched 14 feet from nose to tail. The story goes on to talk about how when he first saw this, he was surfing, and this shark came out of nowhere, and he just froze. He didn't know what to do because his emotions took over. Anything that you see, any of your senses, anything that comes in has to filter through your limbic system. So all of your emotions before it can make it to the frontal cortex where it can actually think through an issue. So here's the shark circling, and he keeps freezing. He doesn't know what to do, how to process it, because all he feels is the fear that has him completely paralyzed in the water, not even realizing, as the story goes on to say, that his foot is not on his board. And so that shark could have very easily taken off his board, but he was able to take in a deep breath. We just talked about breathing and how important it is to get that breath into your brain so that you can actually process mm-hmm. things. So he was able to pull himself out and move forward, but it was the chapter talks about when reason and feeling collide. He knew he had to get away from that shark, but he couldn't process it into his brain because what he felt was too strong and it overpowered his ability to actually problem solve and think, okay, I was going to ride a wave back. If I ride a wave back, I might get away from this shark, and that's my only chance of not getting eaten. But he couldn't think through that. So it's just a really interesting, really impactful book if you haven't read it. If you buy it new, it comes with a little emotional quiz. We shared it, so I got to do the emotional quiz. Ryan didn't, because it was my book. But you can kind of, as you go through it, you kind of see what things kind of resonate with you and which ones don't. So you kind of go through that journey. Mm-hmm. But Emotional Intelligence 2.0 has one purpose: increasing your emotional IQ. So that's the thing that makes you aware of where you are in space and time, really. Mm-hmm. It helps you to have some recognition of how other people are feeling, helps you to manage your relationships, helps you to manage your own feelings and your reactions to things.
And I did take a quiz online. It's not the same one. You got to have their special code or whatever to do this one. But the other ones will give you the space on where, or the space. They'll give you kind of a baseline of which one of the topics that you need to focus on more. And those topics are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. Mm-hmm. And so, like, mine is self-management is what I need to work on the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I had self-management and Social awareness was my other one, but the self-management is where I see myself struggling the most, managing how my feelings overcome my thinking. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've chosen to work on first. I think if you read this book, you're going to see you have a lot of things that you need to work on. But it talks about, in the book, it talks about these feelings that you have. So all the different feelings that you have in a day, according to this book, can be categorized into five different types. So you've got your happy, you could be high happy, medium happy, low happy. You can be sad, you can be angry, you can be afraid, or you can be ashamed. Shame is a big one. If you've ever read or listened to anything by Brené Brown, she talks a lot about shame and how that can cause a lot of trouble in your life, and how narcissism is a part of shame. Also, little rabbit trail, but also very interesting. So you've got, you're super happy, you're elated, excited, overjoyed. There's a big list here, but medium would be you're cheerful, gratified, good. Low would be glad, contented, pleasant, tender. You're sad, your high sad would be that hurt, rejected, alone. Medium, heartbroken, somber, lost, distressed, and then low, happy, moody, blue, upset, disappointed, angry, you're furious, you're enraged. Medium would be upset, mad, defended. Low would be perturbed. Just a great, perturbed. Great word. My mom used to say I'm she perturbed. Was perturbed. I love that word. Afraid. So you've got your terrified, scared, stiff, horrified, petrified. Medium would be apprehensive, frightened. You might feel apprehensive just, you know, going into a new job interview or just not quite sure what kind of area you're going into. Cautious, nervous, worried, timid. And then ashamed, that's that sorrowful, remorseful, worthless, disgrace. Those are the hardest ones. Medium would be apologetic, unworthy, sneaky, guilty, embarrassed. And then your low, ashamed would be your bashful, ridiculous, regretful, uncomfortable, pitied, or silly. If you can, and one of the things it talks about as you increase your emotional intelligence is naming your feelings. So I had this situation last week that I was fuming.
She was extremely perturbed.
I was very perturbed. It was the picture of perturbed. And so I was trying to calm myself down, because if I go storming out of my office and outside, everybody's like, uh-oh, what happened? So if I can calm myself down, I can still go for a walk, because going for a walk, walk it off. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we do. But being able to calm down a little bit before going on that walk helps. So plus, if I'm just angry, it will usually calm me down, but this really helped me to pause. So I sat there and I took a sticky note and I wrote every word that came to my mind was how I was feeling. Perturbed, honestly, was not one of them, but next time that happened, perturbed is going on that list.
Top of the list.
All angry, caps. Frustrated, fed up. I can't remember what all else there was, but real strong words for being pissed. And then I took and had to, it took me a minute to, once I got those words out, I was breathing and thinking through, and then I flipped every single one of those words, took another sticky note, and did the positive side of that emotion, and not necessarily that emotion, but like the antidote for it, I guess is the best way I can explain it. And then took that sticky note, stuck it on top of the bad feelings. Our son says bad feelings.
Yeah. I've got bad feelings.
But then I took those good feelings, put them on top of that, and it's sitting on my laptop still. This was last week it happened. So I've been looking at calm, collected, intelligent, creative all week, which is helping me think around some of these issues where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is hopeless. Like, why would I even bother trying to come up with solutions for this? Because I'm just going to get roadblocked. I'm going to get red taped. Why would I bother trying? So being able to slow myself down, think through, then creatively look for ways to overcome or mm-hmm. go around or go through the roadblocks that are in my path. So I feel like that's something that directly came from emotional intelligence, where maybe before I would have just called phone friends and been like, you'll never guess what they're telling me now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so mad and all these different things. So it really helped. Little tip of the day mm-hmm. for you. I'm pretty sure that didn't come out of this book, but it came out of my incredibly intelligent, calm, exciting, creative brain.
Mm-hmm. And Candy is very exciting and brilliant, and she has to do a lot more emotional intelligence work than I do. I have a little bit.
You make it sound like I've got a lot of work to do. Well, you're not wrong.
She has.
I'm in people business.
Yes, whereas I'm in the waste business, and I've got metal and things that I can just melt and beat on, and she has to deal with people a lot more.
Yeah, they get mad when you melt them and beat them.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they need beating.
That's true.
Both people and metal.
Still get you in trouble, but. No.
But, Candy's done really great with it, and I've always thought she's been very high on the emotional intelligence scale. Thank you. With the way she handles a lot of things, especially when it comes to the being the boss side. I only hear her side of some of this stuff, but what she does is she's very good at what she does, making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed and taking care of things how they need to be. She just gives me a smirk.
Look, thank you. So emotional intelligence, that EQ, all comes together. It's got this cute little tree in the picture. So you've got your self-awareness, your self-management, your social awareness, and your relationship management all comes together to make your EQ. And then the tree branches out and it creates anger management, trust, stress tolerance, empathy, communication, time management. It's huge, because if you spend all your time going off the deep end every time somebody says something to you that it is upsetting, especially if you work with other humans, they're going to do stupid stuff that you're just like, why can't you just, and you waste a lot of time dealing with that. So some time management, communication, instead of just getting mad, being like, hey, could we please talk about this? Mm-hmm. Or next time, maybe could you do this? It might make this easier. Your change tolerance. One of the things I read recently was talking about anticipation and how we are always anticipating. We spend most of our time either worrying about the past or anticipating, which would be stressing, or maybe being excited, most likely stressing about the future. So instead of like constantly living in that, maybe looking to that change that might be right around the corner, anticipating what that might be, preparing yourself for it, and then letting it go, being able to just then live in the present where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So change tolerance is huge. Assertiveness. Instead of just getting angry, you're able to stand up for yourself, to set boundaries, to work through things that maybe you wouldn't have if you didn't just slow down and breathe a little bit. Social skills, obviously, that relationship and social awareness. If you're the type of person that will just stand there and talk forever, and the people that you're talking to are obviously disengaged and have lost complete interest mm-hmm. in what you're saying, or like they put their welding helmet down, then that's probably a good cue that it's time mm-hmm. for you to walk away. Customer service is a big one, because customers are the worst if you can kind of see. For us, I'm in home health, so being able to kind of read your patient, read your room, and be like, okay, I'm going to just finish up this little bit of documentation. I'm almost done, then I'll be out of your hair. Having that little bit of social awareness will really help you with your customer service. Flexibility, being able to just go with the flow a little bit better, because you're not going to get amped up about every single thing or every single person that comes in your path. Mm-hmm. So it just helps you with life mm-hmm. in general, with your spouse, with your kids. It's frustrating because I will try to use it with our kids and then they do something, roll their eyes if you're the 9-year-old, or throw something or scream if you're the 3-year-old. And I just, like, you guys rob me of every ounce of emotional intelligence that I have. And then you're tired, stressed, and then you're frustrated that you did whatever you did that took you out of that emotional intelligence.
And you try real hard to not get in a shouting match with a 3-year-old
mm-hmm.
who's just screaming nonsense because he likes the sound. But as soon as you start to, like, sing a song along with the radio or whatever, you're hurting his ears.
Mm-hmm.
He's a goose.
Oh my gosh. He's getting better. But it is... The whole move, I think, has been a huge just change for all of us, obviously. And then he just doesn't understand it. Addie understood it enough to be mad about it.
Yeah.
But she's getting better. So it's just like baby steps every day of like, okay.
Yeah, he asked me when we're going to go back to our blue house.
Like, never, dude. So you've got it's broken down. So you've got your personal competence. That's, so it's what I see. So your self-awareness and your social awareness. And then what I do, your self-management and relationship management. And that breaks it down into social competence and personal competence. Mm-hmm. So you're looking inward at what you need to be doing, how you are feeling, labeling that thing. And then you're going to go outward and see what other people are doing and have an awareness of what they're feeling. Yourself, according to the book, self-awareness is your ability to accurately perceive your own emotions in the moment and understand your tendencies across situations. So when you're going into a high-stress situation, you already know you need to up your self-awareness before you even start going in, looking at areas, especially where you know it's going to be a high-stress situation. So we'll go a little bit more into all of these as the episodes go through, but I'll go ahead and touch on some self-management. That's the one we kind of both needed to mm-hmm. work on a little bit more. Well, a lot, but self-management is what happens when you act or do not act. It is dependent on your self-awareness, and it is second major part of your personal competence. Self-management is your ability to use your awareness of emotion to stay flexible and direct your behavior positively. There have been very many moments in the last couple of weeks after I read this book that I have used that to slow my roll mm-hmm. because it's so easy to just jump into these high-stake situations, high-emotion situations. And then you're like, oh my gosh, it's too late. Once those things come out of your mouth, uh-huh. it's too late.
Yep. And then you look like you're just some kind of loose cannon or...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And people perceive you in a way that you don't feel about yourself because you don't have good self-awareness. So working through those things in your own life helps you relate to those. And it gives you a sense of control too because you can't control what that other person is going to do and say, but you can control what you say and do. And so being mm-hmm. able to have that awareness, stop in that moment, be like, okay, this is making me angry. Why am I angry about mm-hmm. this? Okay, what can I do to flip this to either a positive or a manageable option and kind of working through it in your brain where you're stopping, you're slowing down, you're breathing, you're thinking. Mm-hmm. So it just, it helps mm-hmm. bring that down.
Put it down, walk away from it for a minute,
mm-hmm.
take some deep breaths.
Even if you're like on the phone in a high stakes situation, we've talked about this before, but taking a drink or just taking a breath, like I've had people say, are you still there? Like, yep, I'm still there. Let me just think a second. And then I'm not just shooting out these words the first thing that come to my mind, because sometimes that's not right. And it's not doing anybody any justice to have to go back and be like, well, you know, when I spit out those things the other day, I thought about it some more and that's not what I meant. Where if you can stop yourself before you say those things, then it's going to save you a lot of mm-hmm. grief in the long run.
Yeah, the old adage of say what you mean and mean what you say.
Mm-hmm. The next one is social awareness. As the first component of social competence, social awareness is a foundational skill. Social awareness is your ability to accurately pick up on emotions in other people and understand what's really going on with them. So in order to do this, sometimes you need to take time to get to know somebody. So if you're just always jumping to conclusions about someone, maybe you need to figure out, like, what's their past? What's making them the way that they are? Mm-hmm. I've always thought that once you get a little bit of history, and that's just taking time to get to know people, it just makes it so much easier once you can actually work through with them what their deal is. Because then you can kind of give them a little bit of grace if they had mm-hmm. something that built them up to the way they are. And then the last one is relationship management. The relationship management is the second component of social competence. This skill often taps into the abilities of your first three emotional intelligence skills, self-awareness, self-management, and social awareness. Relationship management is your ability to use awareness of your own emotions and those of others to manage interactions successfully. So you're managing yourself. Self-management can help you, being able to lead yourself can help you in so many situations in your world. Burnout, you're feeling burnout. How do you lead yourself out of that situation? Depression, anxiety, whatever your case may be. How do you set up a plan? You don't need a boss to tell you what to do. You can manage yourself mm-hmm. and say, okay, I am going to do this by this time in this way, and here's my action items I'm going to use to execute this plan. And so being able to lead yourself frees you up to lead other people or to be in relationship with other people. Because I've learned so many times and then I fall off the boat anyways, but keep learning and getting better. Is that when I'm leading myself, I show up better to everybody else. Mm-hmm. I just being able to, like, we're on 75 hard right now, day 33. I think we just finished day 33. I'm able to have more bandwidth to work through things with other people because I know I am accomplishing the things I need to do every day. And you just get a flow of, mm-hmm. okay. And does that flow have hiccups and bubbles and rocks and craters and waterfalls? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. But if you keep on with that flow, it ends up flowing out into that nice, smooth clearing where you don't have to worry so much about all those rocks and whatever, bushes, because mm-hmm. you're able to overcome them so much easier. Whereas if you're new to rafting, you're going to hit every single bump and not be able to go around the way you would if you were experienced at it. That's a terrible analogy, but I was trying real hard.
It's a great idea.
The but concepts. Going with the flow And getting into that flow takes discipline. Mm-hmm. You can't get there without taking action and doing the things. It's just like we could read this emotional intelligence book over and over, but if we're not actually taking some of the tips, just like any professional development, leadership, whatever kind of book, mm-hmm. if you're not actually going to utilize parts out of it, then it was pointless. Mm-hmm. It's not just reading it isn't going to actually change you.
Education without action is just an entertainment. Mm-hmm. So you have to execute on, you can read and listen to every self-help book and podcast and audiobook, but if you're not executing on the steps to get better and, the takeaways from that, then it's just entertainment at that point. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might need to listen to a book or read a book a couple times to get those good points, and that's okay. That's fine. You're learning, you're getting better, mm-hmm. but you have to take steps to get better. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. So this will be part number one of a 5-part series. So stay tuned for a little more detail about each of the emotional intelligence pieces and some tips and tricks that are listed in the book, and some of the ones that we've kind of come up with as we've gone through and worked through some of these different tools and exercises that are listed that really help get you closer to that emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Because truly, truly, especially in the day and age we're in, your skills are only part of your picture. You also have to have your intelligence, you have your emotional intelligence, and you have your personality. And your personality and emotional intelligence are going to get you a lot farther in life mm-hmm. than just that plain intelligence on its own. If you are an a-hole or you come across as one, maybe you're not. Maybe in your head, you are an amazing person. And you probably are. But if that's not how the world sees you, then you're not going to get anywhere with that. So being able to hone those skills in and figure out where your weak spots are is going to move you forward to where you want to be in life. So it turns out the Bible also has a lot to say about emotional intelligence, and they called people who didn't have emotional intelligence pretty much fools in a lot of these verses. And it's talking about rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's Proverbs 12:18. And then the one for today, Proverbs is full of it. Mm-hmm. But Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. So being able to harness your spirit, even though that emotion's going to come first, harnessing that and being able to be wise in your response is the definition, biblically, of emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So take that into your week and stay tuned for further episodes to talk about emotional intelligence and kind of how it's looking like for us and how we've progressed or failed. We're never afraid to share our shortcomings as well on this podcast because we're people and we just want to build a tribe, if you will, of other people who are trying real hard to be better people. Mm-hmm. That's really the purpose of this, walking it off, being able to let go of those things that are holding you back in your life and start moving forward. The walk it off analogy goes in so many different ways. So we want to thank you guys all for listening to the Walk It Off show. If you enjoyed our podcast today, please share with your friends. We are open to feedback and you can reach us at thewalkitoffshow@gmail.com and on Gmail at thewalkitoffshow.
Instagram.
What did I say? Gmail?
Gmail.
Oh, Gmail, gosh. Gmail. And definitely email us because obviously that's the only thing I care about. No, Instagram is good.
At The Walk It Off Show.
Yes, at The Walk It Off Show. All one word. Mm-hmm. So walk it off, shake it off, rub some dirt in it, whatever you've got to do to overcome challenges every day. Hope you guys have a wonderful week.